How many of y'all are glad to be in the house of the Lord today? Raise your hand if you're glad to be here. That's most of you. That's always a good sign. For those of you that are not glad to be here, let me just tell you this. You have reason to be glad, whether you realize it or not. Because our God, He is an awesome God. He is a gracious God. He's a merciful God. He's a loving God. And He desires every person, everyone that's in this room today, He desires that you know Him personally. Not just He's someone out there. Not just He's God on high. Not just He saved my soul, but I've got the rest of this life covered. He wants you today to realize and to know in your heart that He is a personal God. We've been talking all year long about come alive in the Spirit. What does it mean to come alive? Well, to me, it simply means that as a believer in Jesus Christ and as a follower of Jesus Christ, that it is my duty to stir up within me the Holy Spirit through prayer, through supplication, through desire to live a life that is different than I was going to live it all on my own before. How many of you all have said, is this all there is to this Christian life? Is this all that there is? Is there not more? What about this more abundant life that Jesus promised in John 10:10? Well, my friends, I'm here to tell you today that the more abundant life comes through the Spirit of God that dwells within every believer. The more abundant life, the life that you live, and I'll just say starting today, that you live today throughout all the rest of eternity is powered and is sanctified by the Holy Spirit of God. The message that I want to try to bring to you today is we walk, or we should walk, hand in hand, spirit in spirit, with the Holy Spirit of God if you're a believer in Jesus Christ. And to me, that simply means that we are in agreement and we are constantly seeking His will and we are constantly asking for His power to get us through the day so that we can become a witness day by day by day to the grace of God and to give God glory in everything that we say and everything that we do. So that people that do not know Jesus Christ may look upon our lives and see a life that is different. A life that is not like their life, even though that we work the same jobs, even though that we have the same look and live in the same types of homes. But it is an inward experience that has an outward manifestation. To me, that's what walking with the Spirit of God means on a daily basis. And I want to talk to you about that today. First of all, as believers, we have to realize that all believers receive the Holy Spirit. When you said yes to Jesus Christ and was baptized, you received the gift of the Holy Spirit. He indwells every believer. Did you know that? I see some heads shaking. That's always good in a church that we know that the Holy Spirit is living in us. Did you know that the Holy Spirit is God? He is fully God, just as Jesus Christ is fully God, just as the Father is fully God, and yet all three are one. Concept of the Trinity. Father, Son, Holy Spirit, the Holy Spirit living in you forever. In Acts, we read of a tremendous thing that happened after Jesus ascended to heaven. Jesus told His disciples before He ascended, He says, wait here in Jerusalem until the Holy Spirit comes upon you in power. 10 days later, at the Feast of Pentecost, or the Feast of Booths, depending on what version you read, there was 120 believers of Jesus Christ gathered in a room. And they had been praying for the Holy Spirit to come to them. They didn't have any idea what it meant that the Holy Spirit was going to come upon them in power. They didn't know what that meant. All they knew was that their Master and Lord, Jesus Christ, had commanded them to wait until the Holy Spirit had come upon them in power. We talk about Pentecost. That is a time and that is a event that changed everything forever. Because never before had the Holy Spirit been given to man, to believers of God, to the believers of Jesus Christ, in a way that he had been given then, and the way he is still given today. The Holy Spirit filled that room that they were praying in with a mighty wind. And it says in the Bible, in Acts chapter 2, that it looked like fire. Tongues of fire come across and rested upon the heads of everyone that was there. And the result of that manifestation simply was that people got so excited individually. All those 120 individuals became so excited that they began to praise God. Praise God with all that they had. Telling about all the wonderful things, the mighty works that God had performed throughout history. And they were so excited, they spilled out of the room and they went out into the street. And because it was a major festival, you had a lot of people from all different places in the world, and they heard all these people praising God. But the thing that really astounded them is they heard them praising God in languages that they knew that these Galilean 120 people could not possibly know. They heard them speaking their language. That was a sign to those people that something had just occurred, that was something that was totally unusual. Then Peter begins to preach. And toward the end of his message, preaching the gospel message of Jesus Christ, he says in Acts chapter 2, verses 38 and 39, and Peter said to them, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins. And you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For the promise is for you and for your children and for all who are far off, everyone whom the Lord our God calls to himself." So you, my friend, are one of the everyone from afar off that the Lord God has called to himself today if you're a believer in Jesus Christ, and you have been given the Holy Spirit. He resides in you now. You say, "Well, Randy, that's wonderful. I'm glad to hear that the Holy Spirit, God himself, lives in me. But I'm not really sure what that means. I'm not really sure what that entails." Well, my friends, today I want to tell you that what that entails is simply this. That you have residing in you God himself. Fully God himself. Not some little piece. Not some small manifestation. But fully God living in you. And you, whenever I say that, if you're like me, you can't hardly take that in. Because I would say to you, you know, I've been a Christian for many, many years. And even though I pray, and even though I try to do good, and try to follow God's plan for my life, asking him to guide and direct me, I know that I stumble and I fall, and I still have problems. I still struggle in my life. How can it be that God lives fully in me and I don't realize it? That's a good question. It is. That is a good question. It's a question each of us should ask ourselves. At the Last Supper, Jesus told the disciples many things. But one of the things that he really stuck with is that he was going to send the Holy Spirit to them. And here's the thing that is amazing. He said, "It's good for you that I go away. Because if I don't leave, the Holy Spirit will not come to you." Look at John 14, verses 16 and 17. "And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another comforter to be with you forever." See, that's where I get the forever, that he's never going to leave you, that he'll be with you throughout eternity. "Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees him nor knows him. You know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you." You know him, for he dwells with you, and he will be in you. Well, we just heard about Pentecost, that he's in every believer now. And he's the comforter. And notice how Jesus says the comforter. He says, "I'll send you another comforter." In other words, right now, I'm your comforter. I'm your helper. I'm the one that protects you. But I'm going away, Jesus says. But I'm going to send you another one that'll be a comfort to you, a help to you, a guide for you, a protector for you. That's what the Holy Spirit does, among other things, for us. How can we walk with this Holy Spirit day by day? Well, you know what Jesus just said. He's going to send this comforter. He's going to help you. He's going to guide you. He's going to give you power. But how can I tap into the power that he's given me? How can I live in a way that is different than I've been living? It comes through prayer, and it comes through desire. It's as simple as that. It comes through prayer, asking, Holy Spirit, God, you live in me. I'm powerless. I can do nothing on my own. But there's nothing impossible for you. There's nothing impossible for you. Have you ever said that to God? They tell him his own word. With God, all things are possible. There is nothing impossible for you, Lord. So often, we think that so many things is impossible for us. We do. We struggle with it all the time. We see cancer, and we think it's impossible to get well, to be rid of it. We see people that are afflicted in every way, and we think it's impossible that they would ever be healed, to be made whole again. We see ourselves struggling, and we know our struggles inwardly. And we know that we've struggled with it all of our lives. And it doesn't go away. And we wonder, Lord, is it possible that this would ever be taken from me, that I would be able to live a life without this affliction hanging around my neck every day, constantly gnawing in my mind, dragging me down? Jesus would say, yes, there is nothing impossible for God. Yes, there is nothing that God cannot do. Then the next question out of my mouth would be, well, Lord, would you do it for me? Yes. Yes, I would do it for you. Do you have enough faith to believe today? Do you have enough faith to believe that whatever is going on in your life, that God would answer your prayer, that God would make a miracle happen in your life? I remember years ago, I prayed for a man that was dying, and he died. You hear what I said? I prayed for a man believing God, that God could do this miracle and save this man's life, and yet this man died. I was heartbroken, and I was confused, because I prayed in faith, as much faith as I had, as much faith as I knew to stir up, and this man still died. And that bothered me to no end. But God tells us that we all have a appointed time. Now, I hate to think that the appointed time could be a few years. Or I hate to think that the appointed time is maybe before someone that we would normally say they haven't lived out the years. But God says it's appointed once for men to die. Therefore, every man is going to die. And I know that appointed time. It was that man's appointed time to die. But it wasn't long after that. It was in this sanctuary, and it was over by that door. I prayed for another man. I didn't even know what I was praying for. All I knew is this man was in pain, physical pain. And we had just been talking. It was after a fellowship. And we were just chatting. And I loved this man. And I hugged him. And unbeknownst to him, I was just praying in my mind, Lord, whatever's going on in this man, heal him. I don't even know what's going on. I don't know what to pray for. I don't know what to ask. But I ask that you heal him. He didn't know I was going to pray for him. And he didn't hear me pray. And yet, immediately after that prayer, he looked at me, he pulled away like this, and he says, what did you just do? That kind of shook me up too. I just gave you a hug. No, what did you just do? I felt something happen. That man had never been able to raise his arm above his head like this for 20, 30 years. His wife was over here talking to somebody else, and he yelled to her, and he said, hey, honey, look! And he raised his hand up, or arm above his head like this, and she kind of stared at him at first like, and? And he's like, I haven't been able to do this for 30 years! And it dawned on her, something had happened. It was the power of God through the Holy Spirit that happened. And it's not that I'm telling you today that I'm any different than any of the rest of you, because I'm not. But I do know this, The Holy Spirit is given to us to help us and to give us power. Power for this life. Power to be a sign and a witness for those who do not know Jesus Christ. That is something I do know, and that's something I do believe. The Holy Spirit guides you in life. John 14:26 says, and this is Jesus speaking, but the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all that I have said to you. And in John 16:13, he says, when the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all the truth, for he will not speak on his own authority. But whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will declare to you the things that are to come. That's good news, folks. Why is that good news, Randy? It's because things that you cannot possibly know, things that you cannot possibly conceive, the Holy Spirit will reveal to you. The Holy Spirit is going to give you the truth exactly when you need it. The Holy Spirit is going to give you power exactly when you need it. And again, I ask you today, have you experienced this in your own life? And if you have you told other people about it? And if you have not, then I would ask, do you know why you have not? Prayer and desire. Prayer and desire. Prayer to the Holy Spirit. I can't get through life like this. My life is powerless, but you have all power. Power for what? Power to heal. Power to comfort. Power for the knowledge that we all need of God. Power to love. How hard it is for us to love the unlovable. How hard it is for us to love those who have hurt us. How hard it is for us to love those who we do not know. And we evaluate, are they worthy of our love? The power to have compassion when no compassion is warranted. See, that's the power to change the world as we know it today. But it is with each and every one of you. It's not a preacher standing up on a pulpit. It's not a holy man or woman that is, you know, somehow sanctified and something different than the rest of us Christians. It's you sitting in these pews today. But will you take up the call of God in your own life as the Holy Spirit speaks to your hearts right now? And will you be changed by it? My prayer every Sunday is, Lord, I don't want to leave this place unless I'm changed in some way. For I know the power of God is able and God is willing to change me just a little. I like to be changed a whole lot, but usually when I'm changed a whole lot, I get real uncomfortable. And then I kind of fall back into my shell and don't talk about it anymore. The Holy Spirit empowers you to do the work of the Father. You know, Jesus says to his disciples, my Father is at work and I'm doing the work too. Well, Jesus has went to the Father, and guess what? The Father is at work and we should be at work too. But how can you do the work of God if you don't know what the work is? How can you do the work of God unless God directs you to that work? And then after God says, okay, I want you to do this. How can you do that? Because I guarantee you it's going to take you out of your comfort zone. How can you do that without power and strong boldness that is only given by God through the Holy Spirit? The answer is you can't. And the answer is, that's why we have so many dead churches today. Because we hear and we feel the tug of the Holy Spirit in our hearts and we do not respond. We walk out those doors after a sermon and say, God touched me. I know he did. And that's it. It fades after we eat lunch. John 14:12 says, truly, truly, I say to you, whoever believes in me will also do the works that I do. And greater works than these will he do, because I'm going to the Father. Now, he's already said to his disciples at the Last Supper, I'm going to the Father. You won't see me anymore, but I'm going to send the Comforter to you. I'm going to send the Holy Spirit to you. And here he's saying, whoever believes in me, he's going to do the works that I do. He's going to go about doing good. He's going to go about healing. She's going to go about healing. And all manner of miracles. There was a woman in this church, had cancer. She came to Brother Larry, and she said, "Brother Larry, I know that we're not a Pentecostal church, but I've read in the Bible that I want you to anoint me with oil and to lay hands on me. I'm going to go in for surgery tomorrow, the next day. But I desire that you would do that. Would you do that for me?" And Brother Larry says, "Yes, I would." And Brother Larry called me to himself, and he said, "Would you help me with this?" And I said, "I would." This woman was already diagnosed with cancer. I told Larry right before that woman came into his office to meet with us, I said, "Larry, unless we are dedicated to believing what we're doing, this is not going to make any difference to this woman whatsoever." And Larry agreed with that. And we prayed before that woman got there that the Holy Spirit would give us power to do the work of a miracle in this woman's life. We anointed her with oil. Larry had anointed her with oil. We laid our hands upon her and we prayed over her. Nothing miraculous happened. There wasn't like, There wasn't, you know, a halo or nothing like that. She just got up, thanked us for it, and walked out the door, going to her appointment the next day with the surgeon. Well, we're in prayer that night, of course, and the next day, and we get the message. The surgeons couldn't find any cancer in her whatsoever. We're to do the work of the Father. And the only way we can do the work of God is through the power of the Holy Spirit. John 16:7 says, "Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is to your advantage that I go away. For if I do not go away, the Helper will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you." So Jesus himself is saying, you need the Holy Spirit in order to continue this work that I've begun. Acts 10:38, God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power. He went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him. God is with you, my friends. God is with you. He is in you and will always be so. And finally, the Holy Spirit conforms us to be like Jesus. Now, that's a stretch, isn't it? That's a stretch of your imagination, that the Holy Spirit is going to conform you, the way you are, the way you think, the way you act, what you say, to be like Jesus. Paul writes in 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 18, "But we Christians have no veil over our faces. We can be mirrors that brightly reflect the glory of the Lord. And as the Spirit of the Lord works within us, we become more and more like him." To allow the Holy Spirit to work in you is a choice you make. It's not something that the Holy Spirit is just going to do. The Holy Spirit, if you consign him into a back room of your house, that's where he's going to stay. But if you tell the Holy Spirit, "I want you to have the whole place. I want you to clean it up. I want you to fix it up just like you want. And I want to be just like Jesus." That's a prayer that the Holy Spirit will immediately begin working in you. God says that the good work that I began in you in salvation, I will finish it. Why are you waiting for him to take so long? Church, why do you wait over and over and over again? You hear sermon after sermon after sermon again. You walk out the doors. Why do you resist the work of the Holy Spirit? For those of that you do. And I'm guilty of it too. I've had the Holy Spirit speak to my heart, and I was definitely uncomfortable, walked out those doors, and like I said, after supper time, after lunch, whatever it was, after that meal, it all kind of faded away. Whew! Dodged that bullet. Isn't that pitiful? That's true. There come a day in my life that I said, "Lord, I'm done. Whatever you want me to do, I'm going to do. Whatever you want me to say, I'm going to say." Very first thing he says, "Well, Randy," he sent a woman to me from this church and says, "Randy, I need you to be an usher." Okay. "Well, really, what I really need you to be is I need you to be like the head of all the ushers, and I need you to pray." Oh, my gosh. This is Randy Kidder. I sit back in the pews just like you all did. And never got involved in anything in this church. It didn't take long for God to say, we'll put to the test what you just told me, Randy. And I said, I'd do it. And from that point on, it's just one thing after another, after another, after another. And it's because I meant what I said. It would have been so easy to back off of it because it made me uncomfortable so many times. Don't be afraid of what God will do in your life. Give yourself over to the Spirit of God. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you, Father, that you care enough about each, every person in this church today to touch our hearts with fire. Lord, I pray for us as a church that we give ourselves wholly to you and are wholly yours. In truth, Father, speak to our hearts right now. Each individual life here today, Father, speak to us what we need to do in our life for you. These things I ask in Jesus' name. Amen.